This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants are K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Mr. Prasad, the Union Cabinet chaired by Prime Minister Narendra Modi, many decisions were taken on Friday, of which the Cabinet chaired by Prime Minister Narendra Modi approved the modified Pradhan Mantri G1 Yojana to attract more investments and in the field of biofuels. And according to the Cabinet's decision, the approved scheme will also help in keeping pace with the latest developments in the biofuel sector. Now, this is something which is very important for India, and we would like you to elaborate on that.
Well, I think exactly one of the concerns that the country has been having, all of us know, is the high level of dependence on imports of energy demand, and especially oil. And that we know fuels a lot of our economy. And as an economy which is already fifth largest in the world and poised to grow at a much faster clip, energy levels have to be met, especially fuels. And I think in this direction, biofuel has been a long-term plan of the government to, one, reduce the level of component of and do the ethanol blending, as they call it, with the. So the whole thing is Pradhan Mantri Jeevan Yojana is a step in that direction. Because if you look at the overall impact, the ethanol blending project is very much on track. What started in 2013-14, 30th crore, and they call the ethanol cycle year, in that is now, by the end of 22-23, has risen to something like 500 crore liters. Whereas in terms of percentage of ethanol blending, it started at 1.53% of this 30th crore, and now it's 12.6 at the end of 22-23. And the last July figures, July 2024, that just went past in the last 10 days, it has come to almost 15.83%, whereas the average runs around 13%. So oil marketing companies, which have been given a task that by the year 25-26, you have to have a 20% blending. So I think that's the mission. And in this category, it's the as I said, ethanol supply year plan that you're going, this to keep pace with these kind of developments in the field of biofuels. So they're looking to modify the existing scheme as the technicalities. This is lignocellulosic feedstocks, that is the agriculture and forestry residues, the industrial waste, the synthetic gas, the algae, etc., so that you kind of bring this, and this multiple technologies and multiple feedstocks would be given preference under this scheme.
The scheme, Mr. Prasad, also aims to provide remunerative income to farmers for the agricultural residue, besides addressing the environmental pollution. So how will this happen, if you could elaborate on that?
Well, essentially, you see, the point is, we all know while you do farming, we get a lot of byproducts. Some of it is not processed in the sense that, for instance, ethanol, where do you bring it from to kind of, so this, how do you generate, what you're looking at is alternate sources of a second generation ethanol, which can be come from agriculture waste. So obviously, when the farmers know, otherwise they are dumping it or wasting it, you kind of reconvert it into and make some, sell it as a biomass. When that surplus biomass agriculture waste is processed, it is said it has the cellulosic and the lignocellulosic content. Similarly, industrial waste, which can be converted to ethanol. So these are advanced technologies which are available in the world now. So India wants to take advantage of it. And as you mentioned, the fact that we are looking at the environmental issues, and India has this mission to make India help the ambitious target for zero net greenhouse gas emissions by 2070. So all this moves in the direction, please.
And this Pradhan Mantri G1, which is actually an acronym for Jaiv Indhan Vatavaran Anukul Fasal Avashesh Nivaran Yojana. This was notified in, if I'm not mistaken, in March 2019, for providing financial assistance to 2G bioethanol projects. How does it promote the Make in India mission? How does it help India achieve its ambitious target of net zero GHG emissions by 2070?
The fact is, we are increasing the component of ethanol blending, which of course has the emission rates are looked at differently. Similarly, it cuts down on your fuel consumption, because if your 20% of the fuel component comes from ethanol, obviously you're saving on your financial in terms of what we pay for our imports of this expensive oil. Plus these factories which are set up under the first scheme, like Punjab, Panipat in Haryana was dedicated in 2022. Now the other projects which are being envisaged by the oil marketing companies come in, say, states like Odisha, Bhatinda in Punjab, or Assam. So again, all these projects are something which will help the local economy, which will help, and they in turn help the national economy in the larger context, and also the commitment we've made in terms of cutting another GHG by 2017.
Moving on, the other proposal which was approved by the cabinet was the implementation of the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana Grameen, PMAYG, during financial year 2024-25 to 2028-29, wherein financial assistance is to be provided for the construction of 2 crore more housing. And this is something that, Mr. Prasad, we would like to listen from you.
I think one of the principal objectives of the government of Prime Minister Modi has been to provide houses for all. And we do realize, most of us who are in cities do know that there are a lot of shanties, or what you call half-constructed, people who are staying in barely constructed places, what is also referred to in Hindi as jhuki jhopadis. So I think all of us know that. One, A, you need a quality of life. Every human being, every citizen deserves a better quality of life. So you move in that direction. But this whole scheme, as you know, is split into 2 aspects. One is the urban, which is known as the Pradhan Mantri Awas Shahri or urban, and Pradhan Mantri Awas Grameen, which is the rural component. So both are working simultaneously, but under different schemes and heads of area. The idea is, as I said, give houses to people who are in these parts, especially if you look at the kind of distinction that is made in terms of giving financial assistance to those who are living in plains and those who are living in the hill districts. So there is different component of availability for them. Much of it springs in the Grameen or the village sector, rural sector, comes from the socioeconomic caste census of the 2011, based on which these plans have been drawn. So some of the houses, as per records of the government and also out mentioned, could not be completed by the target date of March 24. So those have to be completed. The idea is, what you mentioned, this 2 crore houses in turn directly benefits something like 10 crore individuals. So a huge chunk of population would get a better quality of life, have a what they call a pakka house to live in and continue with their lifestyle.
Yeah, to sum up, the approval would facilitate all the houseless and people living in dilapidated and kaccha houses to build safe and secure house of good quality with all the basic amenities. This will ensure safety, hygiene and social inclusiveness of the beneficiaries. You've already touched upon the other cabinet approval, Mr. Prasad, which is Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana Urban 2.0 scheme, in which 1 crore houses are to be constructed for urban poor and middle class families. There is going to be the investment of 10 lakh crore and the government subsidy of 2.30 lakh crore under PMAYU 2.0. Your comments on this?
Well, I think much of it springs from the Prime Minister announcement from Red Fort on August 15th last year, where he talked about launching this in a newer format. And then, of course, as soon as the Prime Minister Modi 3.0 came to power, the cabinet resolved to build 3 crore under this scheme. Now, I think one of the interesting things this looks at, apart from the fact that they want to give it to the economically weaker sections, the lower income group and middle income group, their eligibility conditions, what I found interesting was they're looking at giving it for rentals, in the sense for working women, for industrial workers, for urban migrants, for homeless, for the destitutes, for the students. And all of us know a lot of migration does take place in search of work. People come far away, interiors, and come and settle in cities. And many cities, we have noticed the shanties come up largely because there's no place to stay. And then you have these kaccha houses coming up on land, all this. So one of this is to try and address that issue. So here, I think the government is looking at the 2 models. Model 1, which looks at already in a government-funded houses which have been built and are vacant, and then, or in the other is the construct, operate and maintain. And both of them are being looked at in the private-public partnership mode, which means we all read reports in many newspapers that from time to time, for instance, a city like Delhi, we read, or even urban NCR region, that houses have been built by the state-funded various housing corporations are lying vacant for one fact or the other. So here it is, an asset is available. It is how do you monetize it, one, so that you maintain that having recovered part of your investments, and 2, put it to good use. So I think, and as I said, give a better quality of life. So this is one, I think, a model which is being looked at, apart from the usual, where the affordable housing plan, which is already in operation.
Okay, Mr. Prasad, now there is a corpus fund of Credit Risk Guarantee Fund Trust, which is being increased from 1,000 crore to 3,000 crore to provide benefit of credit risk guarantee on affordable housing loans from banks and housing finance companies. So how will this benefit those who are planning to buy a house for themselves?
If you look at it, most people in the cities and urban areas, or even tier 2, tier 3 cities, are going in for this model where a house is being built, you do a self-financing scheme, you go to a bank to borrow money, and then repay in your what is known as the EMIs, or equated monthly installments, or whatever scheme that one agrees with the bank. But one of the basic issues has been found that, especially in the lower income and the economically weaker sections, is who is going to stand guarantee for them? And what happens if the funds don't come up? So this problem is probably the funding mechanism looks at this, because when you give kind of some kind of credit guarantee, the banks know that up to this percentage of loan is already guaranteed by this fund. And in case of a default or stuff like that, they're kind of covered up. So I think that allows it, because in the scheme itself, there are two aspects, which is major portion is a centrally sponsored scheme in which the center and the state work together in terms of financial outgoes that the both city as the state and the center funds to the eventual beneficiary. And the other one is the interest subsidy scheme, which is actually, it's a vertical, which provides benefit for this. Again, these EWS, the LIG and the MIG families, they take loan. But here, again, this interest component is probably taken care of in the sense it comes under the central scheme. So that is what gives you that cushion, which will be implemented by the central sector scheme, whereas the other is the centrally sponsored scheme where the states have a role to play. So I think they kind of tweak this scheme basically to probably addressing those some of the issues which cropped up in the last few years in the while they've worked to and roll on this scheme.
The cabinet also approved the Clean Plant program proposed by the Ministry of Agriculture and Farmers Welfare. This is going to revolutionize the horticulture sector in India and is expected to set new standards for excellence and sustainability. What are the key benefits of the Clean Plant program?
Well, I think targeted sectors who are going to benefit are the farmers, the nurseries, the consumers and the exporters, because we all know we all need quality stuff. And I think for the farmers, the scheme Clean Plant Program is looking for providing access to a high quality planting material and also virus free, so that the crop yields are better and improve their income opportunities. Whereas for nurseries, I think the question is of a streamlined certification processes, which will help them to, you know, supply this in a more efficient manner. Whereas the consumers, of course, they are the beneficiaries because they get some superior produce free from virus, apart from the increasing nutritional value of the product, especially the fruits. And exports, you produce some higher quality disease-free fruits and allows India to become a global exporter and one of the major marketers. Because if you are to compete internationally and be available on the best tables in the world, we have to have a quality product. And I think this is a step in the direction.
The cabinet also approved 8 projects of Ministry of Railways with total estimated cost of roughly about 24,600 crore rupees. Now, the projects are in line with the Prime Minister Shri Modi's vision of a new India, which will make people of the region Atmanirbhar by way of comprehensive development in the area, which will enhance their employment or self-employment opportunities.
On the railways project, yes, I think one of the principal thing is to generate, apart from generating direct employment to some 3 crore mandates during construction, the whole idea is some of these places which are less developed and could not be connected through the railways, which is known as the lifeline of India, is being looked at. And approximately for one particular, say, their plan is 64 new stations, enabling, you know, 6 aspiration districts, covering some 500 villages and 40 lakh population. The huge numbers get connected on this network. And finally, the good news also is that the Ajanta Caves, the UNESCO World Heritage Site, will be connected to the railway network, thereby giving a boost to tourism, which in turn fuels economy and economical growth.
On that note, Mr. K.B. Prasad, we really thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you for having me on the program.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants were K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com